calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones make studio-quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/Motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.
Congressman John Larson, live on the line this morning. And you know the big brouhaha going on down in Washington. And that's the reason I've got the senator on the line, John Larson, because he has got some thoughts of this, a statement on the impending government shutdown. Congressman, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
Always great to have you on the program. And what about this whole battle over border security? I talked
totally unnecessary, Brad.
What did you say?
I think it's totally unnecessary. There should have been a path forward here. It's very unfortunate that this is being used as a political football. The president is using the wall as a political metaphor in this case, and had reached a deal prior to Christmas with the Senate, had agreed to a continuing resolution to keep government open that was unanimously passed by the Senate. And then he went back on his position, called the House down to the White House and said, I want to resist this, and send a proposal back to the Senate. The Republicans voted for it, sent it back to the Senate, and there isn't the votes there to open up government. Worse than that, there was an opportunity back in March and in May to get $25 billion for the wall over, or the so-called wall. And I think the public has to understand that everybody is equally concerned about border security. It's how you address the border security. And the wall is more of a metaphor than it is an actual physical thing. Brad, you know Representative Will Hurd. He's the Republican from Texas who has the largest amount of border in his district, 820 miles. He's a former CIA agent. He called the border wall a fallacy. He said, and this is the important thing, it's not how many miles of wall that is going to keep us safe. It's are we keeping the bad people like gangs and drugs and this opiate epidemic out of the country? And the best way to do that, he knows, is with technology and manpower. So for God's sake, let's get back there, roll up our sleeves, come to a compromise, provide where needed walls, but get the money to keep out the gangs and the drugs and all the bad elements that happen on the border, and then provide a path forward for children, and provide a path forward for dreamers and immigration, and do it in a comprehensive, logical way, the way you would expect your government to work.
How come there are a lot of people, and I hear it, and I'm being very honest with you, as I always am, John, I hear it from a lot of people that they just want safety. I mean, we had a gang war last night in Manchester. It was like 300. Unbelievable. And why can't we do it? Why can't we do it that way so that we really keep them out? Do you think
that is exactly what needs to be done? But that has very little to do with an actual wall and more to do with the manpower, as Representative Hurd has said, and the technology that we have together. I think when you have more hearings and bring people in and the experts, they're going to continue to say that the wall, metaphorically, the president uses to try to give a visual picture to constituents that, oh, this is how we're going to keep people out, when what's needed to keep people out is more border security, more manpower, and more technology. And that's exactly where we have to place the money, and exactly proposals that were put before him in March and May that he rejected. So hopefully, we get called back this week, and we're waiting to hear from Paul Ryan.
Let me get this straight then, Congressman. Let me get it straight then, that there is something that could work that he knows about and hasn't done anything on. Is that a good statement?
That is. That's a very fair statement. And I think, listen, I understand the commitments and what the president said during the campaign, you know, including that Mexico will pay for this. Now, a lot of people say, well, he said Mexico will pay for this, and, well, American taxpayers should do it. I understand what happens in campaigns. People say things that aren't going to come to fruition. Obviously, Mexico isn't going to pay for it. And since it's the taxpayers' then responsibility, let's do it in the most efficient and effective manner that's going to accomplish the goals that you just outlined, to make sure that we're keeping the bad elements out of the country, that we enforce, we have strict drug enforcement and gang enforcement along the border, we keep the bad actors out, and we let the good, decent people who go through a process, and the dreamers and the young children that are already here, have a path forward to immigration. Adults ought to be able to sit down in a room and work that out, don't you think, Brad?
I do. No, I
do too.
But it hasn't been presented this particular way. And has this been presented this way?
Oh, yeah, it was presented nonpartisanly by Angus King, an independent, and I believe it was Republican Senator Round, who also from, I believe he's from North Dakota. I'm not entirely sure on that. But and they proposed $25 billion for the wall over a 10-year period, you know, including national security in a way in which to examine that whole from sea to shining sea, the whole border concept, and address all the various needs that people are going to have from public safety forward, so that you could have both the money and the wherewithal, the technology, the manpower, and where necessary, a wall.
You know, Congressman, I've read about Representative Will Hurd. I knew that he is a former CIA agent, and very, you know, he's a tough guy too.
He is.
But
he
I'm surprised that wouldn't you think that the president would sit and talk with somebody like this?
Yeah, you know, and I think the president kind of boxed himself in because he initially agreed with the Senate that okay, he would vote for a clean, which they voted for unanimously, $1.6 billion in funding, a CR, which means a continuing resolution. I hate to do this to your listeners. It means a continuing resolution to keep essential government open. And so instead, they reneged on that deal, and I think because he felt boxed politically, Brad. But we've got to sit down, and I think the president will come to his senses. Obviously, Democrats will take over come January 3rd and will immediately sit down in the House and work to put a constructive bill back in front of the president that hopefully he'll sign.
Well, again, I know that, and I just go by you because you have been on my program and are on my program a lot, and this is how you have operated in certain areas with him. And I would think, because we've got to do something. You can't have government that doesn't exist. You can't do that. And
there's no question about it. And you know, since 1977, there's been 20 government shutdowns. Most have lasted only about 3 days or less. The shutdown in 2013, you may recall, lasted about 16 days. These end up being, and this infuriates the public as well, these end up usually being political fights to make a point. Meanwhile, there are people, essential workers, that have to go to work at our airports, in the security, et cetera. It doesn't affect anyone in the military. It doesn't affect Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But still, federal employees over these Christmas holidays and Can you imagine having to go home and say, well, I have to go to work, honey, but we may not get paid now. They'll get back paid. But to go through this inconvenience for politics, to me, we should be there working through this ourselves throughout the holidays to make sure that there's a solution.
Well, it's got to happen. We can't. We can't go on. We can't go on like this, John. We can't. There's no doubt about it.
No question.
So, will you keep in contact though, and let me know?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, Brad.
Okay. Well, thank you.
We are, you know, and government still goes on. Later this morning, we're actually getting on the train in Hartford with Rich Neal from Springfield again, talking about the success of the Hartford, New Haven to Springfield opening of high-speed rail to open up greater access and more intermodal transportation for the area. But the real work still lies ahead of us in terms of getting back to Washington. And it's uncertain, and sometime we have to come in. And amidst all of this, to have General Mattis, and I know the Marine in you is so proud of the great integrity and honor and esteem that this man has brought to his position. That, to me, the government shutdown is something we should be working through, et cetera, but overall national security and the service and the this man is just a great American. It's a great loss for our country.
Okay, Senator, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and I'll wait to hear from you again, because this has got to, this is really, really got to be solved. We can't go on like this. We can't.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks again, John.
You're welcome, Brad. Anytime.
You bet. 22.